It's time for Michigan Sports Talk Morning Show, broadcasting live all across the state of Michigan and Northwest Ohio. This is X's and Bros.
Swings it out to Sadiq Bey. Defended in the corner.
To Abdul Rahman at midcourt. Extra pass.
And it goes for the win. The three-pointer by Jordan Poole.
Here's the give. Walker.
Kenny Walker. Touchdown. Smite.
Goff's got it. Back. Looks. Throws. And
yes.
Caught. Touchdown to Troy Myers. They did it. Amon Ross St. Brown to the receiving end.
Sends one to deep left center field. Back it goes, and that ball's
out of here. A grand slam from Miguel Cabrera. He's got two goals. Larkin in on goal. Scores! His first career hat trick in his seventh season for Dylan Larkin.
Here's your host, Anthony Bellino.
Rise and shine, folks. Good Monday morning to you. It is the 8th day of April 2024. We welcome you here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Ben Glaze, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Thank you for joining us, no matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio and worldwide on the iHeartRadio app. We say good morning to you. We welcome you. We thank you. We appreciate you. And, of course, we encourage you. Join the program at any time. You can text the keyword sports radio. Send that to 21000 sports radio to 21000. Our Meijer Supercenter guest line, 866-838-4843. That's 866-838-4843. We're on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook X's and Bros. And, of course, good morning to our television audience as well. On BCSN and streaming live on our YouTube as we try to work out a couple of kinks here early this morning. Ben, Ryan, good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
How are we today on this Monday?
All right. Getting over a sickness, but doing all right.
Oh, are you down with the sickness?
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, that was it's a little too early for those kinds of jokes.
No, it's good.
Apologies. You might say that one would be stained.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Your shirt was stained.
Right.
Oh, man. How was the... Oh, by the way, it's the event center in Grand Rapids is something about five floors. I wanted to bring that back up in case you knew what it was.
Like
fifth floor something.
The Bob? That's all I can think of. That's... That
not
meant,
the not yeah. the Bob five it has like the five floors like in the title.
Oh, so what? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm not sure.
Whatever that building is, doesn't ring a bell. Ring my bell. How was your? Well, it was terrible, wasn't it? How was your weekend?
Like I said, I'm getting over a sickness, so it wasn't that great. I did a lot of sleeping. It was congested.
What are your symptoms, Ben?
Congested. My throat was on fire. I had a headache, and I just felt kind of weak, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's a lot.
Yep.
Especially that last one there, kind of weak. That's not good.
Yeah.
Like when you wake up, and you feel like you just can't do anything. Like lifting a pencil would be exhausting. Yeah.
Been there. Yeah, that's exactly.
Rough. That is rough. Well, I'm glad you're better.
For the most part.
Yeah, good enough to get into into work this morning, right?
Right.
Isn't that something? Well, that's you made it through. Did you have anything planned for this past weekend?
No, just we were supposed to go see a movie yesterday, but that was about it. Otherwise, it was perfect because I didn't have to cancel anything.
Oh, that's good then.
Yeah.
That's a positive. At least you're able to, you know, carry on with life. And, you know, if you had a lazy day scheduled, that's cool. And if you didn't have to do anything, that's a winner too.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So that's a huge, huge positive there. Not really a busy weekend for me, relatively relaxing.
Nice.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. Got a couple weekends free here before... the NFL draft takes over my life.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're, that's the next big big thing. Opening day in itself was that was a lot on Friday. But Saturday and Sunday were fine. Friday was a very, very long day. But Saturday was easy. Yesterday was easy. But opening day now feels like it was like 3 weeks ago. Why that happens like that, I have no idea. But yeah, it was a downtown Detroit. You get downtown, and at first it was like sunny and like 40 degrees, and that's cool. Next thing you know, it's cloudy and there's flurries, and it's like, man, that's not cool. And then it's sunny again outside. You're like, oh, okay, all right, this works. I mean, I was indoors for the broadcast anyway, so I wasn't going outside unless I had to.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter to me. Like, you know.
Understandable.
Like, hey, are you going over to the game? No. No, I'm not. I can see everything from right here, especially with this new Jumbotron, this new video board. From my position, I was in the Huntington Bank building on Woodward. And so, you know, we're on the 20th floor. You just look down into the ballpark.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, you can see everything.
That's like, great.
You guys can do concerts up here. Yeah. Basically anything you wanted. And it's going to be pretty solid. So not too worried about kind of trying to get over there and do anything. Like, it just kind of is what it is. Like, I just want to just hang out. I do my job and get the hell out of here. That's kind of the vibe that I was on right there. Let's just get done what we need to get done. And let's get out of here in one piece. Did you see the Detroit Pistons this weekend?
I did not.
All right. So they played the Brooklyn Nets. And it was Friday night. And they lost 113 to 103. Which you might think like, okay, that's really not bad. But the problem is, and it's Brooklyn, right? They've got some, you know, they got Mikal Bridges. They've got Dennis Schroeder, Cam Thomas, right? They've got some players. The game previous to that, the Memphis Grizzlies is one of, maybe if not the worst loss, I think, in Pistons history. The Pistons rolled out their typical lineup at this point of the season. Typical lineup, which would include a lottery pick, first round selections, like the entire deal. And they lost to the Memphis Grizzlies by 18 points, and you have no idea who was on the Grizzlies. I'll tell you this, who was on the Grizzlies. Xavier Simpson. Scottie Pippen Jr. was on the Grizzlies. Xavier played 33 minutes, didn't shoot it well. He was 1 for 9 from the field, but he was like their starting guard. And everybody scored in double digits for the Grizzlies. Like, they rolled out maybe one of the worst lineups in NBA history and beat the Pistons by damn near 20. A Pistons team with multiple lottery, you know, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren. How does that happen? How does that happen? And I get Memphis stinks, but they lost their best player. They still have 27 wins. Like, they still have 27 wins. This is an all-time failure from the Detroit Pistons that, you know, I didn't even put them in the rundown today. I just like, we'll just skip over them. Like, we don't even need to discuss them. So I'll just drop them in now and be done with it, because that was an absolutely awful, awful weekend. Congratulations to the Pistons legend, Chauncey Billups, by the way. That was good for him. Making it into the Hall of Fame. That's a lot of fun. Pistons have now lost 4 in a row. They'll be back in action tomorrow night in Philly. Remember, they only have one home game remaining, so they've played three on the road. They'll finish up this road trip with a road game at Philly. Pop home for the Chicago Bulls on the 11th, and then finish the season on the 12th and the 14th. And man, if you're a Pistons fan, this season can't get over fast enough. Just get it done with, right? That's all we've really wanted, and that's kind of a shame considering the fact of, how long of a disappointing year it has been. We're going to step aside. When we return, we're going to dive into the Tigers a little bit. They stunk it up this weekend. We'll get into them. We'll talk about the Red Wings. John Wagner will join us. March Madness. Whole lot to get to. Don't go anywhere. Keep it locked right here. X's and Bros.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend Josh Garvey. Now, he's a managing shareholder at Dorn Mayhew's Grand Rapids office. Their world headquarters are in Troy, Michigan, on the east side of the state, and they have locations all around the world. They have over 550 motivated accounting professionals, 90 years in business, and I mentioned the 10 offices worldwide. So if you want to connect and partner with one of the top CPA accounting and business firms in the world, they're right here in Michigan. Dorn Mayhew's Troy office on the east side of the state. And Josh Garvey is a managing shareholder for their Dorn Mayhew GR office. Right there by the S-curve, you'll see the new Dorn Mayhew sign. You can find out more. Just Google Dorn Mayhew. That's D-O-E-R-E-N-M-A-Y-H-E-W or Dorn.com. They're one of America's and the world's top CPA accounting and business firms. They're Dorn Mayhew.
We play for the thrill. That rush you feel with the game on the line. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver. Now, with Eagle Casino and Sports, the new sportsbook app from Soaring Eagle, anywhere I'm at, I'm still in the game.
Sign up now and get up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000 for a risk-free bet on your next favorite underdog, parlay, or prop.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
From Traverse City to the Glass City, GR to the Motor City, you're listening to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros, Michigan Sports and Network. Great to have you riding along with us, no matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio and worldwide in the iHeartRadio app. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you this morning. And look, the Tigers this weekend, we came into the weekend feeling pretty good. Of course, it was opening day and the celebration that was opening day. So that's always a lot of fun, right? And you're playing the Oakland Athletics, which based upon how the team had started this year, we were thinking, hey, you know, we're pretty good here. Life is good. We've got no complaints. What would the issue be? All we really have possibly is the Oakland A's coming to town, and we could feel really good about the fact that, hey, we've won our first couple of series. Everybody's happy. No problems at all. Life is good. Well, life is good until you come in there and you just underachieve like crazy, and now life all of a sudden is no longer very good. And you drop 2 of 3 to the Oakland A's, soon to be of Sacramento, once, maybe potentially in a few years, in Las Vegas, right? That's like the biggest issue right now for me. It's not the of how you lost. It's who you lost to. And the fact that you dropped 2 games in a row, you feel relatively bad, not just about the pitching, but the offense in its entirety. And look, we're 9 games into the season. There's really no real reason to stress out about anything, right? They're 6-3. Except for the fact that I kind of want to stress out about some things, one of which is Spencer Torkelson's bat. That's a huge issue. Like, that is a monstrous issue. If he doesn't get that figured out, you know, we didn't lose 119 games. 119 games. We didn't lose all of that to get an MLB, like a generational MLB bat, for him to not be a generational MLB bat. Like, that much is for certain. Like, we didn't do all of that. So, with all that being said, he's got to figure it out. And this year, honestly, might be more important than last year. Really, honestly, truthfully, for a guy like Spencer Torkelson. Like, at some point, he's going to have to be that guy that we all thought that he was when we drafted him. Like, that's just the that's just the fact of the matter. So we'll kind of have to, I hate to say wait and see. Like, to me, that just is, I can't stand it. But what I can do is I can tell you this much. He's got to improve. Absolutely must improve. Because if he doesn't, this team, that looks like, a very questionable, like that's a misselection. Like he can't hit 200. It just cannot happen. Now, we're 9 games into the season. Some people are going to be like, oh, I can't believe you're saying this. What are you trying to say here, Anthony? I'm trying to say he needs to be the guy that is supposed to, that we drafted. That's what's supposed to happen. He's got to be the dude that we drafted him to be. And if he's not, that's a problem. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Nothing too crazy. Just be the guy that we told you, like we drafted. Because, you know, this pitching staff has been very good outside of Kenta Maeda. Kenta Maeda has not looked like the Kenta Maeda we traded for. He has been relatively horrible. He's thrown glorified batting practice. But outside of that, everybody else has done fine. The bullpen's been fine. Everything has been fine. However, Kenta Maeda, he has not been fine. Who was that? Mary J. Blige who sang that song, Fine? I don't know if it was her or not, but if it was, like, that's not Kenta Maeda. He is definitely, most definitely, not fine. And that's a little bit concerning if you are, you know, if you're buying into this thing. So for me, Tigers weekend was not great. You win 5-4 in day one, and Saturday and Sunday you come back 4-0, 7-1. You lose the final two games 11-1 to the Oakland A's. And I think they put it up on the broadcast. Like Oakland had won, I don't know if they've won like 12 of the last like 13 or 12 of the last 15 or something, some sort of crazy stat that Oakland doesn't lose in Detroit. The Oakland A's, soon to be of Sacramento, and then potentially of Las Vegas. Those Oakland A's, they just do not lose. And for me, it's like, come on. Like, that's a, you know, with the way this, in reality's coming soon. Reality is coming soon. They've got two against the Pirates, both on the road before they, you know, get in here this coming weekend, where you're not going to get the White Sox and the Mets every single week. They're going to get the Twins. They're going to get Texas. Tampa's right around the corner. So they've got some challenges in front of them. And it's not like I expected them to be 9-0 after these first three series. But win all three series. Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking for that. I don't think there's anything wrong. If you're going to give up a game, sure. Like you lost to the Mets 2-1. But you had a lot of momentum there. Funny how the world turns here in the world of Major League Baseball, because you had a ton of momentum in your first four games. And then look at it this way. You're 2-3 in your last five. You're 1-3 in your last four. Things aren't looking so great, right? And it's very interesting how momentum can swing. Tigers went 16 scoreless innings between Gio Urshela's go-ahead double on Friday and Riley Green's solo home run in the eighth inning on Sunday. It's pretty interesting. Like that one hurts a little bit. Can't go. Hey, by the way, congratulations to Blake Corum throwing out the ceremonial first pitch. He's probably the best play of the day. Who is this? This is Austin sends this one. Here's the stat from Evan Woodbury, right? So this is good. He covers the Tigers for M Live. The last time the Tigers won a home series against the A's was April 25th through the 28th of 2016. They are 4-21 against Oakland at Comerica Park since then. Thank you, Austin. That is indeed the stat I was looking for. Also happening right now this morning, and of course late last night, did you see the news that Coach Calipari, John Calipari, has informed Kentucky that he is negotiating with Arkansas? Cal to Arkansas? What do they have going down there in Arkansas? What the hell is happening there? That's what I would like to know. Calipari to leave Kentucky to go to Arkansas? Sorry, I saw that Ryan threw that. I didn't think that was a real report, and then all of a sudden it turned out to be a real report from yesterday. So I just wanted to make sure that I squeezed that one out there. you know, to make sure that, hey, like I didn't miss that first thing in the morning. But just to kind of round out that Tigers conversation here, this team, two against the Pirates, they pitching is a problem. Starting pitching, like, it, how do I say this? Because it's only one game. You're like, oh, I thought you said, but yeah, I mean, look, they're not going to go out. If Parker Meadows is leading off, he can't hit 087, period. If Riley Green is batting third, he can't hit 188. Tort can't hit 184. I'm not nearly as worried about Riley Green as I am Spencer Torkelson. It just is what it is. Like, Flaherty comes in and got waxed. Six innings, nine hits, six earned runs, a walk, five strikeouts, gave up a home run. You're not winning a game with the starting pitcher doing that. It's just not going to happen. So that's that. You know, we'll revisit the Tigers and the situation with John Wagner when we return in hour number two. However, when we return here next, we're going to talk about the Detroit Red Wings. Staying alive is what they're doing right now. They are staying alive as they won the series against Buffalo. We'll talk about that game yesterday here next on X's and Bros.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive, boys and girls, high school sports, MHSAA.tv. That's MHSAA.tv. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Can't call in? Text us using the keyword sports radio and send it to 21000 or tweet us at XB Mornings. Now, back to X's and Bros with Anthony Bellino here on the Michigan Sports Network.
Hey, shout out to Austin, too, this morning. Up bright and early. Love the fact that he's all in on the show, helping out, throwing us some stats. We love stats like that. Finding the stat that I was trying to find about that Tigers futility versus the Oakland A's. As Ryan would call them, homeless. They're homeless. And they are, too. Like, what in the world? That's such a travesty. Well, next week, I think, with John Wagner, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have that conversation about that with Wags and see exactly how he's feeling about all that whole conundrum there in Oakland, because I got to imagine we've all got to be on the same page that we don't want to see taxpayers having to pay for new stadiums. And I'm glad Vegas did what they did. You might be thinking about Allegiant Stadium. Like, you might pick that up and be like, that's the counterpoint. Well, look what they did in Allegiant. Allegiant Stadium was paid by and paid through a special tax initiative on the hotels. That's where it was at. It was a hotel tax that supplemented the, I don't know, $750 million, I think, is what it was. And then it was, oh, man, I don't even know what the total was paid for by ownership there. But, yeah, it was like $750 million through that special tax. And that's where we ended up with being able to get Allegiant Stadium. The other thing is, you know, people want to pay for the NFL. I don't know if that's necessarily the same with Major League Baseball. I don't know if Major League Baseball necessarily, you know, if that has the same draw that the NFL does. I think that's a legitimate question that we could, you know, we could be asking as well. All right, let's get into the Detroit Red Wings, who keep the season alive with a massive victory over the Buffalo Sabres. You might be thinking to yourself, what's the difference? I mean, it's the Sabres, but hey, it's a game you got to win. The Red Wings have taken the season series 3-1. They won 5-3, lost 7-3, and then bounced back 4-1, and then yesterday 3-1 throughout the course of the season against this Buffalo team. And it like a really good game here for Detroit, where all the scoring was done in the first period, and then it was maintenance, right? It was just maintain the damn thing. And I thought Buffalo actually played a really good, really aggressive game against the Wings. I think that much is like Buffalo was out there, you know, playing with a little purpose, one might say. And I think that overall, this Red Wings team responded in a way. They did something that they haven't necessarily done of late, or really all season long, and that was jump out to an early lead, right? I mean, at one point in the season, they led the National Hockey League with the most third period comebacks. You don't want to have to do that all the time. Like, it's nice to be able to get a lead early and kind of carry that thing throughout the course of a hockey game. Now, a couple of people have asked me about my rant and how I feel about the way that this team has played. I think they played a little bit more aggressive. I think you have to, I think you honestly have to take the fight to the other team. That's what you have to do. And when I say fight, it doesn't mean drop your gloves and beat the hell out of somebody. What it means is, like, you have to be able to go out there and find a way to force the action on the opposition. And that can be through a myriad of different things. It could be through actual physical checking itself. It can be through aggressive forechecking. It can be through the big hits and the fights and things of that nature, where, you know, you feel as if your team is doing a very good job of being ultra aggressive and forcing the action on the other team. Those are all very good things. Very, very good things. And, you know, I think when you look at this game from the Red Wings perspective, like, it was one in which you absolutely needed to have. You needed to have it. You needed to be able to go out there and win a hockey game that they're all playoff games from here on out. They are. And you need help, too. Luckily, with the victory, the race has really improved. Now, that Metro division is just chaotic, for lack of a better way to put it. But you have to win these games down the stretch. And this part of the schedule is where we're going to see, you know, whether or not, you know, this team's going to make the playoffs or not. It's all going to happen right now. Like, it's all going to be in this process of, you know, the next couple of weeks. And they've had some performances where it has been, you know, really good. They've had some clunkers as well. And you got to remember that this is the first time for all of these guys that they are, you know, really, you know, this is the first time for just about everybody who's on this team. You know, that's not talking about DeBrincat. That's not, you know, talking about, I think Larkin played 1 year early in his career. But the Red Wings became the fifth different team to occupy the Eastern Conference's final wildcard spot through play in the last 5 days, following the Capitals, who were in there on April 3rd, the Islanders on the 4th, the Flyers on the 5th, the Penguins on the 6th, and now it's the Red Wings on the 7th. Like, that's the point that we are at right now in how competitive this has been for this Detroit Red Wings team, and for this, you know, for the entire a conference that already hasn't qualified for one of those top three. I mean, these teams on the outside looking in, they're getting after it. And every single game matters for everybody. And we need some help. Like, we absolutely need some help here. Like, it's just one of those things. You put yourself in the spot because you lost 7 games. Like, that's what it is. And when you go out there and you lose seven games in a row this time of year, if you'd have done this in November, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. You know, you do this in March and April, and yeah, I mean, it could be, you know, cataclysmic for your club.
Ben Chiarot will put it in deep with the pressure on as well, but it's Owen Power for Buffalo.
Might have needed Joe Koser and Drake to start this game for the Red Wings.
That pass stolen away by Lucas Raymond. Raymond in, shoots, scores!
That's a really good way to start the game. That's a really, really good way to start the game. Lucas Raymond, who has had, yesterday was the Lucas and Mo show, is what it was. It was Lucas Raymond offensively getting the game started. And what happens is Buffalo's trying to carry that puck through the neutral zone. He jumps a pass right in the middle of the ice. And that's a big commitment, right? And it's a little play that makes a lot of difference because, you know, in hockey, think about it like you're a cornerback, right? Especially if you're not a big hockey player, this is the best reference I can make. Or like a basketball player. You know, there are certain times where you're going to quote-unquote go for the steal. That's exactly what Lucas Raymond did. He went for the takeaway right there. He went for that steal. And the pass was maybe a little bit lackluster, some good pressure on the puck there. And it's going from the near side boards to center ice. Raymond gets a stick on it, takes over possession. Beats the first man on a one-on-one, and then it's him, the goaltender, and one defender in front of him, and he let that thing go right near the top of the circle, not exactly top of the circle, but close enough for me to call it top of the circle, and just beat the goaltender. That's what it was. And to do that at that point of the game, to get this team, you know, started early, really bringing a lot of juice, a lot of momentum for the club, that's a win across the board, right? Score first. There's nothing in the rules that says that we have to, you know, mount a comeback every single game. Like we're allowed to get on the board first and to be able to build on a lead. Like I think that's a really good idea. In fact, I think we should do more of that is what I think we should do. A whole lot more. Like let's score first and then put a little pressure on the other team. So what I say about, you know, taking the attack to the other team, taking the fight to them, it can be in the forecheck. It can be actual hits throughout the course of a game. It could be on the scoreboard, right? It could be on the scoreboard. It's not playing from behind all the time. It's getting a lead, maintaining that lead, protecting that lead. Because we all know the two-goal lead is the scariest thing in hockey.
Rattles around for Larkin. The pass, though, stolen away by Jack Quinn. His pass, though, to Benson was on his way off the ice. And it's Patrick Kane trying to get through the D. Patrick Kane scores! Patrick Kane stayed with it and tucked it around Luukkonen. Too early for Detroit.
Now that's a Patrick Kane. You could put that one on the career highlight list, I think. I think you can do that. Once again, here we go. It's the Detroit Red Wings on a takeaway. Patrick Kane gains possession just inside the blue line, has two defenders to beat, somehow squeezes between them like elevator doors, and ends. I don't even know how he got the puck on a stick to put it in the net. That to me, it's just that's what a guy like Patrick Kane can provide you right there, and a much needed goal for him as well. You know, that's a goal that I think that most people can feel pretty good about when you look at what he means to this team and how he has been playing to date, because that was an all-star caliber goal. Then later on in the first, it's still 2-0, and Dylan Larkin, who's been sensational all year long. Remember, he took that puck off the side of the knee. He looks like he's in really good shape. He was able to finish that game, and here he is getting a power play goal. You love to see it.
Are you all for cross-checking as the Red Wings working around the offensive zone on the power play? Power play, nearly 23% success rate, ninth best in the league, and they get it to Larkin, and he scores! Dylan Larkin, a power play goal! 3-0 Detroit!
And that would be it. I mean, Buffalo would get one, and then that we would just call it, I mean, I'd just call it a day, right? We don't have, we don't really have too much to worry about. We could just kind of keep it right there. Everybody settle down. Good, right? Everybody feels good. Now, I said the Raymond and Mo show. Moritz Seider, there is something to be said about the effort that it takes, the willingness that it takes in order for you to be able to block shots at the National Hockey League level. Moritz Seider blocked 10 shots in the win against Buffalo. 10. Lucas Raymond said, I quote, I feel like he does that every game. Mo Seidert has 196 blocks in 76 games. That's just over 2.5 blocks per game. And the Red Wings, I mean, Seider was an absolute wall. No other Wings player blocked more than 3 shots in the game. But for Alex Lyon to make 37 saves, the Red Wings totaled 28 block shots. Think about that. Now, that's not to say that every shot would have been online and been on net. You have no idea. Like, the somebody rips one, if they're far enough away, it kind of, 50-50 shot, it hits the net. It's probably a little bit more like 80-20 because they're professional players. But we got in the way. That is a ton of shots. That's like 65 attempts at the net. And for Mo Seider to go out there and be willing to do that. And Derek Lalonde said, quote, no one eats pucks like him. No one talks about his willingness to play hard and to eat pucks. I still think there's some growth. Oh, yeah, well, there's not going to be any more growth if he keeps getting clapped by the puck. Now, Larkin, who scored his 31st goal of the season, the captain is 1 point shy of 500 for his NHL career. 210 goals, 289 assists, 499 points in 647 games. That's pretty solid right now. Now, he can become the 14th player in Red Wings history to reach the 500-point milestone when he gets it. Plus, he'll be the 10th Michigan-born player in NHL history to record at least 500 NHL points. So how about that? Congratulations, old Dylan Larkin. Still no goal for Alex DeBrincat, however. He has one goal in his last 17. Oof. That's rough right there. Ben, you got some activity over there in the Meijer Supercenter guest line. What do you got going on?
Yeah, USDA Scott.
USDA Scott, what's happening, my friend?
Hey, buddy. Hey, happy Monday to you. I just want to say I'd like your take on the Red Wings right now because I'm feeling that I'm feeling the same stuff. I don't know why I read any posts or anything, and talk radio. Everything avid fan is glass half empty. You know, this is one of the best sports years that we've had in Michigan history. U of M wins the Natty to start the year out.
Yes.
Lions win their first playoff game in over 30 years. Then we win another one and go to the NFC Championship. And
yes.
What do we hear? Goff can't win the big one. Oh, we blew it. No, be half, glass half full.
Scott, these people cannot be happy, Scott. They can't. They bought a brand new car, but it wasn't a Ferrari. They got a brand new house, but it's only 2,000 square feet. They wanted to have dinner. They settled on, Hamburger Helper. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, people,
we
have no idea how to be happy with anything.
And one. Our Tigers were 6-1, and I'm hearing people say, yeah, but Javi and Torque are just not hitting, and boy, did we swing and miss on Kenta Maeda. You're 6-1. We're the Tigers, and we're 6-1.
Well, they were 6-1, and now they're 6-3, and all of those things still stand true, though. They're all true. Like, even I'm complaining about Torque. Like, we didn't lose 120 games to have a guy come in here and hit 200. Like, that's not the case. Now, he showed some signs second half of the season last year, and I'm good with that, but he needs to continue to progress because if he doesn't, his team's going to find themselves in trouble.
The other day, he blasted a couple doubles the other day, too, that looked really good. So, give it a rest. We're still 6-3. These are professionals. I know Oakland's one of the worst teams in baseball, if not the worst team in baseball, but still a professional. They're still a professional team. And we did not play well. Move on. Beat the Pirates today, but it's just always the same. And we're hosting the NFL draft this year in Michigan.
Just got done with the Sweet 16 and Elite 8.
We talked about this a week ago or so. We said in these last 8 games, Wings had to win. You and I were talking. We're figuring. So we had to win 6 out of 8. To guarantee or to lock it up for playoffs. Well, we're 2 out of 3. Let's see what the kids can do. And Lalonde and both Eisenman have said about this Red Wings team. we got a lot of the people we want. We got a lot of the things in place we want. We just don't have our identity yet. And you know what? Fighting to get into the playoffs, and if they get in, maybe they find an identity.
I sure hope so, Scott. I sure hope so. Hey, thanks so much for the call. I got to tell everybody about, we got a UFC show coming up. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, if this is something that you're going to dabble in. But if you are going to dabble in it, there's only one place to do it. An action-packed fight card taking over Las Vegas, UFC 300. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Ultimate Fighting Championships, is giving you the chance to get in on the action with a knockout offer for every fight fan. New customers can bet on any UFC 300 bout, turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets. That's right. The much-anticipated title fight, Pereira versus Hill, the exciting undercard bouts. DraftKings is giving new customers a shot to rack up the bonus bets right now. Betting is simple. It's easy. Just lay down some action on any UFC 300 bet. You'll get bonus bets back instantly, no matter what. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the promo code HUGE. New customers can bet $5, get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Only with DraftKings Sportsbook. Only using the promo code HUGE. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus. Physically present in Michigan. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility deposit restrictions do apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/MMA. Hour number two of X's and Bros. Coming at you next here on the Michigan Sports Network.
Get ready to win big every Friday in April during Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort's 43rd gaming anniversary. Every hour from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m., two winners will receive $500 in premium play. Then at 10 p.m., one lucky winner will walk away with $4,300 cash. The celebration doesn't stop there. On April 26th at 10 p.m., one lucky player will take home the grand prize of $43,000 cash. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Your getaway reimagined. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000. And you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and The Huge Show.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.